Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, and welcome to Everything is Fine, a podcast for women over 40. We're your hosts. I'm Kim France.
And I'm Jen Romolini.
Jen, what's the what today?
What's the what? I mean, there's so many whats. There's so, so many whats. This is not on our list, but I've been resume sprucing up. Oh. For fuck's sake. Oh my God. I mean, I am an animal and I do enjoy like a challenge, but I like literally, not literally, but basically had to pick it up and dust it off and be like, what's going on here, resume?
Oh my God.
It's weird to be old and thinking about your resume because you have to think about it in different ways because you're like, oh, I have all this experience, but is all this experience going to preclude me from getting work because I look too senior or I look like, you know, somebody's mom or, you know, just thinking out these like very, it's a different game and it's really interesting to be thinking of it in a different way. I mean, I love a challenge, as you know, but that's what I've been doing this week. Super unfun and but kind of fun, like satisfying in its own way.
Yeah. No, God, I don't remember the last time I worked on a resume.
Like seriously, when have you looked at a resume for yourself? It's like, at what point?
It's been a long time. And I feel like after a certain point, you just get to, do you have to do a resume? Can you do like a bio? Do you have to like, does it have to? Because, you know, the other thing is you do a resume and it immediately identifies how old you are.
It's true. I mean, you don't have to put dates on shit. I mean, you have to put date. I don't know. It identifies a sort of span of your age. Like it gets you, there's somewhere in there. But other than that, just been thinking about things like, in my middle age, am I going to become long fingernails lady? This was the thought I had the other day.
Why did you think this?
Because I keep my fingernails really, really short. And I was long fingernails older lady is a thing. It's a choice you could make. And I, you know, you could have like a longer sort of rounded or pointed nail. Like you could just get really into having nice nails in old age. It's if you've seen it, like old ladies with red nails, old ladies with coral nails, old ladies with nails.
You know, I am thinking about some nails of a woman I saw the other day and that I see sometimes that are kind of long and pointy.
Yes. Yes.
I like that. I think that's cool. I could never do it. My nails both grow fast and are very weak.
Okay. But there's much in nail technology that would allow you. And most of these women are really getting like, you know, the top nail technique. So anyway, I was just like, it's like kind of like a sexy look. It's like, you know, long nails, lady. That's what I've been thinking. How about you? How's your week? That's my week.
Well, my week's been pretty good. I had a nice thing happen on Sunday. It was Mother's Day.
Yes.
And Mother's Day has been for, you know, was for many years very fraught for me.
Yeah.
you know, as my brothers both had kids and, you know, we would started having these big Mother's Day brunches with all of them. I just opted out for years. Yeah. I just opted out. And then the years I would go to dinner, I would get like sloshed so that by the time the waitress was like, oh, happy Mother's Day, I could go, I'm not a mother. And that was just a bad, 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 bad scene.
Right, right. Sorry. Then, sorry about that. Yeah.
But I don't really know what happened. I mean, I think some of it is that I'm happy. Some of it is that I'm so much older than parents of young children.
Yeah.
But I like Mother's Day doesn't bum me out anymore. It just like, it doesn't do it for me anymore.
That's amazing growth. That's like amazing movement in your life. That's awesome. What do you think? Do you think it changed because of feeling happier? Like what do you think it is? It's the older?
I think that some of it is being generally just happier. And when you're less happy, you can't help but look at the ways in which your life went one way when it could have gone another.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, now I don't, you know, now I think, you know, I always used to think that I've talked about this before, but that I wasn't a mother by circumstance and that it happened to me. And I realized, you know, a number of years ago that actually I did have a choice. I had plenty of choice and I could have done that. And I chose not to.
Yeah.
You know, for me, I chose not to because after I got divorced, I didn't want to try raising a child on my own.
Yeah. Yeah. No,
I just, I knew I needed a partner for that. That I did, not that other people do.
Yeah, and not everybody does. And, you know, it's all so personal and you never know what the right, like, you just can't, you never know what the right choice is. I mean, I've talked about this before, second kids, you know, I should have had a second kid. I feel that regret all the time, the grief around that. I had a, you know, Mother's Day is a fucking lot now on social media. I mean, this is going to be so dated by the time this comes out, but I'm just going to say it like, it's just coming at you on all sides. Like, you know, I have a complicated relationship with my mother. I know a lot of people do. I have a complicated mothering, you know, all of it. And it's just like this assault. And because of the algorithm, it's an assault for several days because you're still getting shit for days and days. And I can't imagine, you know, people who have even more complicated situations or, you know, grieving mothers. It's so hard. I had a tiny little thing come up for me that I burst into tears. It was an ex-boyfriend of mine that we really shouldn't have broken up. Like we just kind of, for some reason, we just were like, well, maybe we'll just break up. We don't want the same things at this second. And I saw for the first time, I don't know how I'd never seen a picture of him as like a little, little kid. Mm-hmm. And I had this real feeling of, oh God, I wish I had gotten to live two lives and I wish I had had a kid with him. Like I looked at him and I was like, oh God, I wish I had had a baby with him. Look at what a cute baby he is. We would have made such a cute baby. And like that you just, it's like, you never know where the shit's going to come from. You know, you never know when the wave of like regret and grief and I was sad about that for like 40 minutes, just thinking, oh God, we really let go of that relationship much sooner. And I'm totally happy in my life now, but we let go of that relationship much sooner than we should have. And I've known it for years.
God, all I did was hang in relationships longer than I should have.
Oh, I was exactly the opposite. I was like, get me the fuck out of this. As soon as there was discomfort, I was out.
Yeah. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah. So, I mean, not as soon as, but close to it. But anyway, yeah. So I'm just saying like, you know, everybody out there, like I feel for all of us middle-aged women just looking at our lives and being like, oh, should I have?
Yeah, no, I know. Well, another interesting thing or exciting thing happened this week.
Yes.
I went to Costco.
I love the change of subject. It's perfect. Okay, I have never gone to Costco, but I know that I should go to Costco. Please tell me everything about Costco.
I had never been to Costco. And I was in a shit mood. I think it was Thursday. I was just like lying on the sofa, not getting any work done, being really cranky. And Paul was like, I know what we're going to do today. We're going to go join Costco. Because, you know, he had a membership during COVID in Philadelphia. And you know, I've always thought like, you know, Costco is a good, you know, it's a great company. They treat their employees really well. And you get all these amazing deals.
Yes, it's amazing. It's just laziness I haven't joined. It's not snobbery. I think Costco is incredible.
Yeah, no, Costco is Costco. Well, it we went to Costco. We joined Costco. We went out and got, like, they have these double wide shopping carts because everything is like, you know, packages of 8 and 10. You know, it's all value packages.
Bulk buying.
We walked around for a while and I was like, I got to get out of here. We left with a completely empty shopping cart.
Okay. Was it like IKEA where you're just like, I can't, like you start a little getting bit. Like, yeah. Snowblind and IKEA.
It was the middle of the day on a weekday and it was mobbed. So I can't even imagine what it is like on a weekend, like a nightmare.
Okay.
And everything, you know, it's the reason it's all so cheap is that it's in value packs, but I don't need a value pack of anything.
Right. Right.
You know,
right.
I don't have room for value packs or whatever they are. So I think it'll still be good for like things like electronics purchases.
Yeah.
But I don't think I'm buying my groceries there. Still, I'm glad I went. It was a revelation.
I mean, this is not a happy story about Costco. I'm going to tell you.
I think this is not
a story of triumph about Costco.
It wasn't a story of triumph, but I do think it was a triumph that we actually joined Costco. Would have been better if we followed it up by making a few purchases.
I feel the more I understand about myself as an ADHD, as a person with ADHD, the more I understand that there are certain things that are just not for me. And one of the things that might not be for me is a giant, like, what do they call them? Box store? I don't even know what they call it, but I get so overwhelmed in those kinds of spaces. Like, also get over, like, Alex is always like, what do you think? We're not going to use toilet paper in 3 months? Like, we need, why don't we buy in bulk? And it's just like, there's something about it that's very overwhelming to me, which is also why I'm bad. I'm just terrible with money because I'm just like, well, the Scott one roll lasts for a while.
You know? Like, I know.
It's a nightmare. It's a nightmare of adulthood. But those kinds of spaces, like, I get a lot of anxiety. There's a lot of sensory things happening. They're usually lit really poorly. It's just, it's over. The sound is overwhelming. And you have to be sensitive to that stuff. I mean, I don't know what technically all of my neurodiversity is, but I'm definitely neurospicy, you know?
We both are probably.
Yeah. So, you know, you have to be gentle with yourself and be like, if you're close to having a panic attack in Costco, you got to get the fuck out of there. It doesn't matter how good the salmon is.
Yeah, no, it's true. The only thing is that I think, like, someone once said to me before I was going to move apartments, like, you just have to accept that it's going to suck for a while.
That's true.
You know, and so whenever I've moved, I've just been like, okay, it's going to be kind of pandemonium and tense for a week or two, and then it's going to be fine. And I think if you walk into a place like Costco and think, like, this might suck in A, B, and C ways, but I'm prepared for those things to suck, so I'm going to be okay.
Yes. There's several things you could do in a situation like that. Like, if you had gone alone, you could wear, sometimes if the grocery store is really, I mean, this is making me sound like really much more unstable than I am, but I'm not totally stable. Like, sometimes if the grocery store is really overwhelming, I will put in headphones and I will just be like, okay, I'm just going to be in the zone with my audiobook in this grocery store, in a giant grocery store, if it's too much. Like, there are strategies. And, you know, I have a kid who's very sensory sensitive and I have to prepare for situations like, okay. And I don't do this for myself, but I say, you know, okay, this is going to be loud for a little while. Then it's going to get really calm. Then it's going to look like this. So you just really know what to expect. I feel like you just didn't know what you were getting into with Costco. I mean, a weekday, you'd think it would be empty.
You think it would be empty. I thought we would be cruising through there with our double wide shopping cart, but it's not how it turned out.
But honestly, I'd love to know from listeners, because I hear so many amazing Costco stories. Listeners, if you want to write into us and tell us what we should be getting at Costco, because I know people have like Costco hacks, Costco tricks, Costco.
They do. Well, because Costco, they're like a, this was explained to me, they're like a buyer's club. So they'll go to companies like, you know, companies with brand name products and say, let us also produce this under Kirkland, which is their brand. So you're actually getting, you know, a fancier product than what you think you're getting.
My stepmother-in-law is a gourmet cook and she shops at Costco. And every time I see her, and I've been married for I don't know, almost 20 years. Every time I see her, we have a conversation about Costco and she shows me. And every time she shows me, I'm like, oh, they have those brands. Oh my goodness. I could get chicken broth in bulk. Like it's just, it's you could tell that it is the smart and right thing to do, Costco.
Yes. So I'll be back.
You'll be back.
Probably.
Okay, so the topic I want to discuss next is the topic that we both put on our list to discuss because, listeners, we are more organized now and we put things in a list. It is the story that I have been dying to talk about, but kind of avoided talking about because I thought maybe it was going to go away, but it has not. Do you know what that which with which I speak?
Are you speaking here of the Martha Stewart cover of Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue?
I am speaking of, yes, indeed, but the entire Martha Stewart renaissance and the reason that it is a renaissance, which is this yes queen, you slay. I think the New York Times called it, I forget exactly what they called it, but it's like the age of, I'm going to look it up. Sorry. Martha Stewart welcomes you to Generation Ageless. Ugh. Discuss.
I think I read something that she said in that interview where she was like, age is such a boring topic. Can't we move on to something else? I was like, I actually think age is a really fascinating topic. The way you change, the way everything changes and how you hang in there. I think that's fucking fascinating. But that wasn't what really bummed me out about it. Like, it isn't what bothered me about that cover is that it looks like it's supposed to be progress, but it's not progress.
That's right.
It's not progress. Sports Illustrated has in the past couple of years, you know, the swimsuit issue is a relic, you know, but it still exists. So they've tried to make it more current. They've tried to make it more inclusive. The past few years, they've had 3 or 4 different cover models.
That's right.
So last year they had Mae Musk, Elon Musk's mother, who was a model and is very beautiful. And this year, the older person they went with was Martha.
It's stunt casting to get attention.
Yes, it's stunt casting. And I, you know, the way, you know, newsstand, I don't know how important newsstand sales are. They were very important when we were doing magazines. And I can guarantee you they did a much smaller print run of the Martha Stewart covers than they did of the Hot Babes. Because the Martha Stewart cover isn't going to sell. It's just going to get them all the press in the world.
That's right. And that's a very interesting business perspective. My issue with this is that this is not Generation Ageless. First off, you're right that it's not progress, but this is not Generation Ageless. This is generation wealth because Martha Stewart would not look like this without tens and tens and tens and tens of thousands of dollars of work. Now, what she says she's had done is maybe some injections. Okay. But that's still tens and tens and tens of thousands of injections. But what she's really like, that is only when pushed to the limit. And that is only like I think that was a dermatologist, her dermatologist saying it. What she's actually telling people, and she's on TikTok and she has a lot of young fans, like young women in their 20s. Okay. What she's telling people is that she is getting that jawline at 81 and that face and everything else by regular facials once a month, horseback riding and not drinking.
Yeah, that's
and
crazy.
Let me fucking tell you, an 81-year-old does not have that jawline, nor did Martha Stewart have that jawline as a 65-year-old. She just doesn't look like this. It's not real.
Also, I think this is true of Anna Wintour too, either and no knock, but she's either wearing a wig or extensions. Because yes. A woman that age doesn't, and that's very expensive, and a woman that age doesn't have that kind of hair.
This is such an unrealistic picture of aging. It is in no way progress. I mean, what it's progress in is that work is really good right now, right? Okay. Like you can, like they can do a nose job with filler and people are getting them, right? So she's saying she hasn't gone under the knife and maybe she hasn't. Maybe she's had like, you know, it's like a tricky way to talk about this because maybe she's had like that advanced threading technology where they literally go under your skin and lift your skin by threading. That's not, you know, that's not a facelift. She's had a ton of filler, but her neck did not look like this 10 years ago. And her saying it's just clean living is so disingenuous. Just fucking own it.
It's so cynical. It's so disingenuous. And just to be clear, I don't think either Jen or I has anything against getting plastic surgery.
Oh,
that's not the point. The point is presenting this as what, you know, glorious, graceful aging looks like is just it is untrue. It's just a lie.
I love good plastic surgery. I think it's amazing. As a person who is incredibly vain, I study this shit all the time. I'm like, well, at some point, maybe I'll want to lift this neck, you know? Okay. Mm-hmm. Like, I think about it, own it. Own it so people aren't feeling bad about themselves who don't look like you when they're 65, when they're 50, and right. They're thinking, what's wrong with me? Should I ride a horse?
It's really crazy.
It's really fucking crazy.
And it's insulting. And for someone who has made her fortune off of the aspirations of other people, you know, to be like her, you think she would feel a little bit of loyalty back to them.
And it's just all, and she's on TikTok. She's a representative for brand ambassador for Clé de Peau. Is that the way you say that?
I think so.
Anyway, that Clé de Peau skincare line, being like, yeah, I'm 81 years old and I just use this fucking cream, ride horses.
And no, what the riding horses, that is like criminal.
It's just, it's unbelievable. I mean, it's almost as bad as J-Lo being like, I get this face from olive oil. But at least yeah. J-Lo's in her 50s, you know, like at least. But anyway, that is just my rant. And we got to stop. We got to stop because also it's also the male gaze. We're just like, imagine we're continuing the male gaze into 81. Like, can't talk about my work. Gotta be sexy. Can't ever stop being for, you know, male consumption on this men's magazine.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I'm with you. I was really bothered by it.
Yeah, I was really bothered by it because I don't think it does anything except negative.
And the reaction to it. I mean, I think that's as much what bothered me was that like you go, Martha.
Yeah, and I want to be clear. Like, let's say it again clearly before we wrap this up. Pro plastic surgery. Anybody doing anything they want. I am against falsehood. And I am against this idea that it's just effortless and graceful. The way that you age, the way she's aging is by interventions that cost a fuck ton of money. Let's take a quick break from some ads.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
And we're back. What else is happening?
I don't know. I mean, I've got some recommendations. Should we go to recommendations here?
Let's go into recommendations. What are you watching, listening, reading?
Well, I just this morning read that Liz Phair is touring in support of the 30th anniversary of the album Exile in Guyville.
Okay. Okay. Amazing. 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 Actually amazing. Sorry. Amazing.
Right? Kind of amazing. So I'm like, I gotta go. I gotta go see Liz Phair because I didn't, you know, I mean, she made some okay records, but that Exile in Guyville is just such a gem.
Yep. Yep.
Such a gem and was so like of its moment. And just, it's hard to really relate how new that felt when that album came out.
No, I mean, I mean, you know, and I don't use this word lightly, but it's an iconic album. It's so of its moment. It's so important, I think, to feminism for a certain generation. I don't know if that's too strong to say. I think,
no, I don't think it is.
Yeah. I think, I mean, that would be amazing. I really was looking at Bikini Kill tickets too. They're touring this summer.
I saw that.
Yeah.
I saw that. That was interesting. I think I'd rather see Liz Phair, but I would be game to see Bikini Kill too.
If we were in the same city, we would be concert friends.
I know.
And we would leave halfway through.
Oh, yes. You know, somebody once said to me, no matter how much I love a concert, no matter how much it's my favorite band, I'm always happy when it's over.
Oh, yeah. And also, when it's over early, I am especially happy. I'm just like, yes, 10? This is amazing.
I went to go see this band, Arctic Monkeys, a number of years ago. And it was a perfect show because they only had one album.
Okay.
They only had one album. That's all they could play. 45 minutes and out.
I told you the Space Lady, 8 to 9. That was my favorite concert ever. Got there, had like two drinks, danced around to Space Lady music, and I was home by 9:30. It was the best.
What's a peak concert for you?
Oh God. I don't know. God, that's a really hard question. I mean, I've seen I've seen Willie Nelson a couple of times, and that was pretty great. I mean, peak concert experience probably was being 20 years old. I had gotten arrested that day for a very minor thing, but I had to like get myself out of jail that day in order to make the Ani DiFranco concert that night in Philadelphia. And I had to drive like 90 minutes to the Ani DiFranco concert. And I was 20, and that was like all my friends in my car, like running from the law. Like it was like, that's probably peak. But I don't know. I don't know. REM. I don't fucking know. I can't. It's all a mish and mosh in my head at this point. You?
Well, the concert that I was brag about being at was that in 1985, I saw it when I was about 16 or 17, I saw The Clash in London.
Okay. That's amazing.
And the only reason I went, I was in Europe and my older brother was there too. And we were in London and he loved The Clash. And he's like, we got to go to this show.
Wow.
I didn't know from The Clash, you know, but it was very exciting. And it was like in Brixton. And after the show, everybody like went on the tube and like jumped over the rails. And it was like so punk rock. And then recently I was talking to Mike about it. And he's like, yeah, that was a terrible show. I didn't know. I was excited.
I did for a while when I first moved to LA because so many people come through the Hollywood Bowl. I think we've talked about this. I was having a moment of I'm going to see people before I can't see them anymore. Mm-hmm. So I saw Diana Ross. I saw Neil Diamond. I saw Liza Minnelli.
So good.
I saw Grace Jones. I just saw a bunch of people before I was like, I don't know how much longer they're going to be touring, you know? So that was a fun run. I saw Brian Wilson, which was not as fun as you'd imagine.
Yeah, I could see that being problematic.
That was real sad. That was sad. Because when it's like, then Liza Minnelli was the same thing. When it's like they're being wheeled out and like, it's like they're just having to like pay off some debt. It feels like it's, you know.
Yeah.
It's not as satisfying.
Well, in music, I mean, the way you don't make money selling albums anymore. You make money touring. So people tour forever.
Yep. Totally. Yeah. I don't know. I feel like concerts have just always sort of been in the background for me. They were never like a foreground thing. Like, I feel like I went to a lot of concerts, but did not actively seek them out.
I get it.
You know, but I wasn't a music person, but I had a lot of people in my life who were.
Yeah. No, I know. I know.
And now it's a lot now.
Oh God. I mean, I won't go see music unless I know there is a place, like there are seats. I won't go stand anymore.
Yeah. Though I did see Kim Gordon in a very small venue like 2 or 3 years ago, I guess right before the pandemic. And that was pretty great. I was like very close to Kim Gordon, and that like, It was small. It was standing room only, but that meant that I was like within feet of Kim Gordon and could really check her out. And that was that felt cool just for the spectacle of it.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, sometimes it's like the Jumbotron, like, what am I even doing here?
No, I know. Because you just stare at the Jumbotron and not even at the stage, which is so far away.
Yeah. So then it's like, I might as well be watching this at home on my TV.
I mean, I will say because they were all over social media, I do kind of regret not going to see Harry Styles, even though, you know, I mean, I kind of regret not having that experience because it sounds like such a great one. And even though I'm not necessarily a fan, I don't listen to her music that much, I kind of am like intrigued by Taylor Swift's tour.
Oh, wow. You're not a Swiftie.
I'm not a Swiftie. I mean, I like some of her songs. And I think I like her. I think she's like, she seems pretty together for somebody who's had as much as she has as early as she has.
I agree.
But it's a spectacle. It's just a crazy spectacle. I mean, I wouldn't talk about leaving early. It's like a 3-hour plus tour. I mean, show.
Yeah. No. I don't know. I would like to say, I think a Beyonce tour would be good. I don't know. It's just like, I don't know. I saw Britney Spears in Vegas. That was weird. That was really weird. I think she was heavily medicated. She couldn't really dance. So they just would like wheel her out on different things. Mm. But also I was heavily medicated because I had taken an edible that was like an old edible and they can increase potency. At least they used to be able to. So my legs weren't really working. I was I had to be sort of placed into my seat. You know, I was like 42 years old.
Oh my God.
I went with a group of gay male friends and they like had to like place me into my seat. Oh, no. And I was like, all right. The other recommendation I want to do this week, before I think we should get into listener questions, but I want to recommend this show. If anybody's not watching, it's Somebody Somewhere.
Such a good show.
It is so just quiet and gentle and it just feels so honest. And Bridget Everett's 51 and it's not sad. It's just like, it feels like you're just watching people live their real lives just in a place.
And the sense of place on that show also is kind of incredible. And it feels so true to the experience, I would think, of living somewhere in a small town, you know, far from the coasts.
Yeah,
where you're not, you know, you're a little different than everybody around you, and you're trying to find the other people who are a little different too, and building this little community in the middle of like the Midwest.
I love the sense of community in it, and I also, one thing I've really been working on lately is like egolessness and like, you know, just being like, I'm not special, and I think that's what she's kind of grappling with in this show is, you know, having felt like she was going to be special. She's this singer, or she was like an aspiring singer and it didn't really work out. And, you know, that you can have this really good life without like having to be what we think of as, you know, quote, successful or special. You can have this very connected, loving, wonderful life with letting all of that go.
Yep. Yep. Well, I feel that way. I mean, I do feel that way.
Yeah. And I feel that way too. Yeah. Or at least I'm trying to really get there.
Yeah. No, it's a show with a really big heart, and it can also be very funny, but it's just, it's got such a big heart, and it's not, I tend to like shows with lots of action.
Yeah.
That happens quickly.
Yeah.
You know, I just, you know, like Yellow Jackets, it's like, oh, now they're doing this and
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And it takes something different to sit down with a show like this. But it's really worthwhile.
I think so too. So check it out. I mean, at one point she says something like, you know, wow, is it perimenopause, menopause, and
oh yeah, she says, and they say like, oh yeah, someone says, what's the difference? And she says, nobody knows.
Exactly. Nobody knows. It's so funny. And the last thing I want to recommend this week, which comes out today, the day that we're recording, is I really want to give a shout to Samantha Irby's new book, Quietly Hostile. I had an early copy of it. Sam is a friend. She is a gem of a person, but she's also she's just one of the funniest, smartest writers I've ever come across. I mean, I edited her for a minute when I was working at Shondaland, and I'd never seen copy come in like this, like immaculate, crisp copy. She's just like a mega talent. And this book, I got it early, and like I was sneaking reads of it as I was driving and like was crying, laughing. There's like an amazing chapter in it about sex. There's an amazing chapter in it about Dave Matthews' Band, Quietly Hostile. Sam Irby is just the fucking best. And we should just be supporting her because she's amazing.
Should we mention the other notable book that came out this week?
Oh, no. Yes, the book that's coming out actually today. I forgot. I guess my husband's book is coming out today. I probably should say that. My husband wrote a book called Quantum Criminals. It's all about Steely Dan. And the artist Joan LeMay did the beautiful, beautiful art for it, paintings of the characters of Steely Dan songs. It's a really cool book, actually.
It's such a cool book. I ordered it and was waiting, like checking the mailbox practically for it to come because I'm such a Steely Dan fan and obviously a fan of Alex's. And it's the kind of writing you don't read anywhere anymore.
Yeah.
You know, because it was really like, I mean, it's a book and it reads like a book, but it was long form magazine writing that it felt like. And it's just so nice that, you know, to see a writer being given like the time and space to tell a really kind of, you know, funky, cool story like this. Funky, cool. That's not what I meant.
Well, no, he got deep in this. Like he really just went down all these different holes. I mean, about Steely Dan. I mean, look, also it's like the perfect Father's Day gift. I just have to say, like,
no, it really is.
It's like that, like they released it, I think at this time for a reason, or if they didn't, they should have, because it's the perfect Father's Day gift because it's like, oh, get your dad or your husband, like, or your partner or whatever dads are in your life, a Steely Dan book. Because it is such a dad book. No, Alex really got deep in this band and he went in really weird places. And I think it really works. I think the writing's beautiful, but I think Joan's art is so gorgeous. It's such a cool book.
Her art is really cool. It just all together, just like the coolest book and so much fun and looks good on a coffee table. I'm just going to say it.
Yeah, totally does. Totally does. You're right. I should talk about my husband's book. I didn't even fucking think about it. What a jerk.
That's what I'm here for.
Oh, man. All right. Listener questions.
Okay. Speaking about each other, in what ways do you think the two of you are alike? In what ways do you think you are very different?
Oh, God. I knew this question was coming, and yet I did not prepare an answer. I think our sensibility about the world is alike. I think our creative sensibility is 100, like we're creatively aligned out the wazoo. Like that's a weird way to put that, but we're incredibly creatively aligned. Our taste is similar, I think. And we have very similar value systems.
Yeah, I think that's true.
And I think we are dispositionally complementary, but very different.
Yes. I was telling you yesterday, I think that you're more fearless than me.
But I think in your caution, you make smarter decisions than I do a lot. I think I'm more impulsive than you are.
I used to be more impulsive. I'm a little less impulsive than I used to be. I used to make big, important decisions very quickly.
Yeah. I mean, it's weird because I think that if we were charting out the humans in the world, like we would be in a very specific category together because we are the same kind of people. But I think I think we are foundationally the same kind of people, but we were raised very differently and in very different environments. And I think that's what makes us different because I think we are fundamentally like, I understand you and your impulses in a way that I understand very few fucking people on this planet. Like I just understand you. And so the ways that you are different from me, I always understand and have compassion for, even if it's not the way I would have done something. So it makes it very easy to know you.
Thanks, Jen.
You're welcome.
Should we go to the next question?
Let's go to the next question. How do you handle or not handle rejection and or seeing others' success in your fields? And then the second part of this is what keeps you going when you're feeling discouraged?
I think that a long time ago, I realized there was room for, like if someone else was successful, like it didn't mean they were taking my spot.
That's right.
that there is room for more than one successful person, and there's room for many successful people. It's the same thing I think about when women feel competitive with other women about their looks. It's like, can there be room for us all to be pretty?
That's right. That's right.
You know, so I would say that has helped me a lot. I certainly didn't start out that way. When I was in my 20s, I was really competitive and spent a lot of time paying attention to who was getting where they wanted in their career faster than me. And when I'm feeling discouraged, I don't know, because I don't think I'm that good when I'm feeling discouraged. I don't think I really pick myself up and dust myself off quite quickly enough.
Yeah. So I think the discouragement is very different for me these days than the looking at other people, like the compare and despair, because I really do think that I read somewhere at some point, whatever's for you will find you in some like aspirational, like Instagram placard or something, like some bullshit. But I do think whatever is for me will find me. I really do. Like I think that, you know, opportunities that I've lost and looked back on, I've looked back and thought, oh, I'm glad that didn't happen because something else happened. So I've lived enough mm-hmm. now to sort of bear that out. You know, I'm still incredibly competitive, but that doesn't mean I don't, I feel jealous of other people's success because I don't anymore. I am competitive with finding opportunities. I am competitive with, you know, pitching and how can I get this project into the world? The discouragement piece, I'm in a place of feeling a little discouraged right now, which is weird, but I'm just kind of trying to accept whatever is and just be like, well, this is just what this moment is. This is just, I just have to sit through this discomfort and it will, and it will change. My circumstances will change. And then the other thing, I don't know if did I talk about this last week, the 90 seconds for an emotion. That an emotion only takes 90 seconds.
We did. We were talking about that because it's the same thing with alcoholics and drug addicts and cravings.
That's right.
Come and go very quickly.
So I've really been like, okay, if I sit in this longer, I can make this feeling of discouragement worse by dwelling in it. Or I can look at it and be like, oh, I'm feeling kind of discouraged right now and just kind of sit with it and let it pass and not attach to it. I think that's what I'm trying to do.
Well, because you attach and you like you're in opposition to yourself.
Yes.
Like and being able to accept something, even, you know, and accepting something doesn't mean liking something. It doesn't mean being glad it happened. It just means you're accepting that it's your reality right now.
That's right.
Like I practice a lot of radical acceptance around Trump being elected.
Yes. And even, you know, like money stuff, like here's the thing, you know, it's terrifying. It's terrifying to not know where your next paycheck is coming from. It's terrifying to lose opportunities, to not get the job you wanted. You know, all of that's terrifying. It does work out somehow. Like it always does work out somehow. It might not be the way you envisioned it working out or the way you wanted it to work out, but it does work out unless you die. And that's a way of working out too. Like, that's it. It just fucking is it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm getting a lot better at this, but I think it's an interesting question. And it goes back to the thing I was talking about earlier with like looking at my resume and ageism and all of that shit. It's like, it's a lot. It's a lot. So a lot of compassion, have a lot of compassion and gentleness for yourself because it's normal to feel all these things.
Yeah.
Okay. Last question. What are the brands you always search for on the Real? Hard hitting over here, I know. Hi, Lauren.
Okay, Maria Cornejo, obviously. Zero Maria Cornejo. Nili Lotan. A Détaché, which is a line that stopped being produced a number of years ago that I really love that you can still find on The Real. Mm-hmm. I'll look for denim. I'll look at different denim brands. 6397 is a favorite of mine. You can get cheaper denim. Mm-hmm. And I'm always, I kind of want a Pucci dress, a vintage Pucci dress. Mm. So I've been searching on Pucci a lot lately too.
I mean, I'm mostly an eBay person, but I search Rachel Comey. Mm-hmm. And then number six sometimes, because I'm like, oh, maybe I want of that. Like if I'm looking for something specific that I want to see if it came out, you know, is it maybe somebody's selling it? But Rachel Comey, I like because I like an eBay. You can actually, there's a lot of like old Rachel Comey on eBay for like nothing. That like, if you remember Rachel Comey from like, you know, 2007, you're like, oh wow, I remember that dress. Sometimes I search for Ganni, whatever that brand is. Sometimes I search for that. I'm not a super real person. So it's really, your searches are much better. I'm always looking for something weirder than that. Like, you know, I've been looking for a lot of Issey Miyake lately, actually. Mm-hmm. There's a lot on eBay still. And when Vivian Westwood died, I looked for Vivian Westwood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some of that old stuff goes for a fortune.
I got a really cute little sweater with like the orb on it, like a cute little short sleeve red sweater. And that was like $40. I was like, this is a good find.
Oh, well, I'm talking about like when she did the, like with Malcolm McLaren and did all the Sedition Heirs clothes.
Oh, that shit is like, that's like thousands of dollars.
Thousands and thousands.
All right. Well, I think we did it. I think we made a show. All right. Thanks for listening to Everything is Fine. We are your hosts. I'm Jen Romolini.
And I'm Kim France.
If you like the show, please rate and review it on all the platforms. It really helps people find the show. It makes a difference. If you want to support the production of the show, we're on Patreon at patreon.com/everythingisfine. We are blogging there. We are doing special bonus episodes there. You can join for just $3 a month, less than a cup of coffee. And I already said where you can find that. If you want to follow us on social media, we're at EIF Podcast. You can follow us on Facebook. We're a private and robust Facebook group. We're on Twitter, but God, we should not be. We're on LinkedIn. You can find Kim on her blog, girlsofacertainage.com. You can find me on tinyletter.com/Jennifer Romolini. The show is mixed and edited by the wonderful Natalie Rivera. And we'll be back next week.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns. Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.